morning, folks, here in the auditorium at Church in the Marketplace. And hi if you're watching up in the gallery. And g'day if you're joining us online. I think it's awesome that people listen in to what we do Sunday by Sunday. And I pray that God will be very close to you as you join us. We're doing a series called Stretching Our Faith. And I think it's always a good thing as our various ministries and our mission begin to build up at the beginning of a year to go back to our basics, to remind ourselves that faith is the touchstone. Faith is the bedrock of everything that we do as a church. Absolutely everything. A church that lives out a relationship with God because of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus and is equipped for that by the Holy Spirit. The life of God in our lives, the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised we receive when we begin a deliberate, a prayerful, a committed relationship with Him. Faith is the source of our purpose to share God's love with the community, to make and grow followers of Jesus, and to live Spirit-equipped lives. So last week we looked at the importance of stretching our faith. We saw how stretching our faith begins with a dream and a decision, actually starting to do something. We saw how faith is stretched when it meets resistance, when it meets delays and difficulties and dead ends, in order that we might finally be delivered. The dream comes to fruition. And so over the next couple of weeks leading up to Easter, we're going to unpack each one of those just a little bit more. So the first stretch of faith is getting God's dream, if you like, for our lives, and getting God's dream for this church. How do we get a dream? Not how do we get a dream like nightmares at night, the stuff that goes in our heads while we sleep, but how do we get the kind of dream that God wants us to have? The kind of dream that determines our destiny, the kind of dream that determines how we spend our time and how we spend our dollars. The pastor and preacher Rick Warren says, "We shape our dreams and then they shape us." I've come to the conclusion, he says, there is no such thing as great people. There are only ordinary people committed to great dreams. When you commit yourself to a great dream, he says, it draws something out of you and helps you become larger than you would become any other way. God uses dreams in our lives, he says, to direct us and shape us and define us. Our dreams determine our dignity, how we feel about ourselves. If we don't have a dream for our lives, we'll feel like we don't have a purpose in life and like we're just existing. We'll wonder, why am I here? What am I on earth for? Why do I get up in the morning? Why do I go to work? What's the purpose of life? If we don't have a dream, we won't have much self-esteem. On the other hand, when we begin to grasp God's dream for our lives and we begin to fulfill the purpose for which He made us, we'll also feel better about ourselves. Nothing is more important after we come to know Jesus than to get a sense of God's purpose for our lives. So we dream it too. It's the reason we exist. It's our purpose for living. Jeremiah says, 29 verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." You see, God's dream for us, it's personal. It's not just a plan for the whole world, but it's also for you and me, your life and my life. It's personal, it's positive, and it will give us hope. So as we prepare to just track into that a little more deeply, let's pray. Lord God, you tell us everybody. Your young people will dream dreams. Your old people will see visions. Everybody can have a sense of who you are and what you purpose for our lives. So as we look at over the next few weeks at dreams and how they unfold as your purpose in our life, we pray that you would indeed stretch our faith. You would grow us so that we are more equipped to be the people you call us to be. So Lord, we want to have some fun in your gym. We pray that you will do your equipping of us and you will strengthen us and grow us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning's question is, how do I get God's dream for my life? How does Church in the Marketplace discover God's dream for our life? The first thing I think that we could say is that that if we're going to discover God's dream, somehow we have to dedicate our life to God. The first thing is dedicate our life to God, or our church's life to God. Folks, we've got to be willing to do that. Whatever God wants you to do, us to do, faith means being willing in advance before he tells us. In Romans 12, Paul says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service. Don't conform to the standards of this world, but let God transform you. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. If we commit ourselves, if we dedicate ourselves, offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, then we will know. It says God's will. It's like we can't miss it if we are seriously dedicated and committed to God. What is his will like? It's good and it's pleasing and it's perfect. In the original Greek, the Bible was written in perfect means it fits me. It matches me. It's just what I want to be, what I ought to be, what I could be, what I should be. How do we discover it? Scripture says, offer. Dedicate every part of me. Dedicate my time. Dedicate my talents and treasures, my relationships, my past, my present, my future. Dedicate it to God. If we don't do that, we're never really going to discover God's dream for our lives. That's why we used at our communion service last week Wesley's covenant prayer. It said, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you, set aside for you, praised for you, criticized for you. Let me be full, let me be empty, let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, wonderful and holy God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, you are mine and I am yours, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Paul says, don't conform to the standards of this world. Why does he throw that in there when he's talking about God's dream? Well, many people miss God's dream because they're not looking at God, but they're looking at everybody else. They're watching what everybody else does. They want to keep up with the Joneses and be like everybody else. Friends, if we're trying to imitate somebody else, we're going to be a carbon copy of somebody else instead of being who God made us to be. The number one reason people miss God's dream is because they're hung up with trying to fit in. We've got to get God's dream for our life and our church's life, not the great Aussie dream. The Aussie dream and God's dream can be two very different things. The Aussie dream used to be easier 30 years ago. I know it meant you buy a home in the suburbs and Dad goes to work and Mum stays at home and bakes cakes. The Aussie dream was more affordable for most people. It didn't involve a whole lot. Today, the Aussie dream is an all-consuming concern. It usually takes both husband and wife to keep up. This rat race becomes our total focus. Sometimes we have to decide if we're going to settle for the Aussie dream or for God's dream. The good life or God's life. Material or ministry. Rat race or God's race. Dedicate ourselves, Paul says, and don't worry about being like everybody else. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us strip off everything that slows us down or holds us back and run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Friends, God has a particular life course for us to run. If we're always looking at other people, we're going to end up running their race. God has a particular life race for you and for me to run, and nobody else can run it. God has a particular race for church in the marketplace to run, and no other church can run it. He tells us to focus on the race and lay off all the excess baggage. There may be relationships or friendships that are pulling us down because they have goals that are counter to what God has for our lives. We can't always please the crowd and God at the same time. So we dedicate our lives to God, dump the excess baggage. Some things aren't necessarily wrong, but they're not necessary. There are a lot of things I could do with my life that keep me from the best, from what God really wants to do with my life. The second thing we can do to discover God's dream, and this sounds pretty self-evident, I guess, spend some time with God, time alone with God. Scripture says, guys, girls, you've got to be quiet in order to hear God speak. If you want to hear God's vision, then I'm going to have to turn off the television. I can't listen to God and Big Bang Theory at the same time. One reason I think that God never speaks to some people is they're never quiet. Something's always going on in their mind. God's trying to get through on the telephone of life, and he's just getting the busy signal. We've got to make space, alone time with God, so that God can speak with us. Job 37 verse 14 says, God speaking to Job, pause a moment and listen. Just stop and listen. Consider the wonderful things God does. God wants to spend time with us, that's certain. Why in the world would the creator of the world want to spend time with me? I don't know, but he does. He says, Peter, pause, be quiet, get alone, learn solitude, so I can talk with you. Same for you. Pascal said, most of man's problems come from his inability to be still. Most of our problems come from our inability to be still. Sometimes as adults, we just get the spiritual wiggles, you know. We can't sit still. We can't be quiet. Is getting God's dream for your life worth an hour of your life? A day of your life? A day with nothing but alone with God. Talk with God. Let God talk to you. Relax. Think. Write down the thoughts he puts in your minds. Look at your schedule. Set some priorities. Spend the day saying, God, where do you want me to go? What direction do you want my feet headed? You think you don't have time for that? You don't have time to try and figure out why you're here on earth? I suspect that God speaks to people who take the time to listen. And this isn't a one-time shot. It needs to be a regular occurrence. We call it a quiet time. The third thing we can do to discover God's dream is to evaluate our abilities. If we want to know God's will, God's purpose for us, look at what we're good at. Why would God give me certain gifts, abilities, and talents and not expect me to use them? That'd be a waste. He gives you talents and abilities and gifts and experiences and a certain kind of personal bent, personality, that makes you you. And when we look at that seriously, it gives us direction. It suggests where we could go with our lives. We ask ourselves, what am I good at? What do I love to do? What's my passion? What turns me on? What turns me off? What is it that people affirm in me? How can God use those abilities for his kingdom? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to devote ourselves to the good deeds for which God has designed us. The word for God's handiwork in Greek is the word poema, from which we get the word poem. You are God's poem. You're a work of art. You're unique. There is nobody else like you. You didn't come off an assembly line. But there's more to life than just being unique. God wants you to be unique and effective. He says he designed you that way to do good deeds. Even before you were born, God pre-designed a role for us in life. Isn't that amazing? He said, I'm going to make this person and give them certain gifts and abilities and talents. I'm going to allow them to go through certain experiences, some good, some incredibly painful. Some are educational, some we go through again and again. He says, I'm going to bring all of these things together because I want something done in the world that will take that kind of person to do it. And that's why you've gone through all that you've gone through. If we don't use those experiences for what God intended, we're missing the point. One day we'll stand before God. You know the story of the talents. He'll say, what did you do with what I gave you? Retired is the wrong answer. That's not what God's expecting you to do with the talents and experiences he gave you. Folks, we're saved to serve. It's called having a ministry, using our talents and gifts to help other people. Fulfillment means being who God meant for us to be. 1 Peter says, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. He's given you abilities. That means they're unearned. You can't take pride in them. It's not something you thought up. When God has given someone the ability of coordinating a schedule, that's a gift. When God's given another person coordination with a basketball, that's a gift. Why take pride in it? It didn't come from you. God gave it to you. It's a gift. We shouldn't go around comparing. One of the other reasons people miss God's dream is that they're always comparing themselves to other people. We blame other people. God says, if we're faithful in small things, we'll be faithful in greater things. It's like God doesn't give us two blessings until we use the first one he's already given us. The way we build our talents is by using what we've got. It strengthens and gets stronger and better. The Bible says, to those who have, more will be given. That sounds unfair, doesn't it? To those who have, more will be given. But it's because they use what they've got. If we don't use it, we lose it. It's kind of like the muscle thing. If we don't use it, we lose it. Romans 12:6 says, we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. The purpose of this church is first to help you come to know Jesus and to help you discover God's dream for your life. Your call to ministry and your life is a message. By the way, we're never too young to get God's dream. We're never too old to get God's dream. The Bible says young men will dream dreams. Old men will have visions. God has a dream for all our lives. Another way we discover God's dream for us is by associating with godly dreamers. We hang out with people who are trying to discover God's dream for their life. Both dreams and discouragement are contagious. The people who are our closest friends are either going to help God's dream in our life or they're going to hinder it. There's no such thing as a neutral friend. So we'd better choose the people who are closest to us carefully. If we want to get God's dream, we want to get around godly dreamers. It's caught, not taught. It's contagious. And that's why it's important that we be in a church family. We come to know Jesus and then we get in a church family. If we want to know God's dream for our life, start hanging around the people here who are saying, I want to do whatever God wants me to do. Scripture says in Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, friend sharpens friend. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, bad friends ruin the noblest person. Somebody said, if you want to soar with eagles, you can't run with the turkeys. If you want to soar with the eagles, you can't run with the turkeys. Perhaps you need some friends here in this church family to build God's dream in your life. The last one this morning, how to discover God's dream. Make the dream known. Why should I announce it to everybody else? Well, it demonstrates faith. And other people start coming out of the woodwork to help. Some of you have had a dream but had no one to help. But you haven't shared it with anybody. Just by telling other people, you're making a statement of faith and other people will come along and become a part of it. You see it, you sense it, and you state it. We visualize the dream first and then we verbalize the dream saying, this is what I believe God wants to do in my life. It's a statement of our faith. There are three effects of publicly stating our dream. Firstly, it gets us started. There's no more procrastination. Now that I've announced it, I really ought to try and make it happen. We've got to get moving. The second thing is it attracts other people's support. The moment I state my dream, other people want to get in on it. A dream from God you don't even know yet. Who's going to help that? Thirdly, it releases God's power. Because of our faith, it's like we've stepped out of the boat and started walking on the water, and we will rely on God to hold us up. What is that faith? Hebrews 11 says, it's the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we can't see it up ahead. A couple of weeks ago, Pierre asked you to think about what might be God's dream. What's your vision for you? So this morning, I want us to think for a minute about what might be God's dream and ours for Church in the Marketplace. I'm going to let you think about that. And maybe sometime, I'm not going to ask you this morning, but you might want to send me an email or you might want to just tell me, give me a phone call about what in this moment or two God might have said to you about God's dream for Church in the Marketplace. So while you're thinking about that, here's some things. They're very broad things and general things, but there's some things I think are part of God's dream for us. I think God wants Church in the Marketplace to be a place where the hurting, the depressed, the frustrated, the confused can find love and acceptance and help and forgiveness and guidance and encouragement. I think God wants Church in the Marketplace to be a place where we share the good news of Jesus Christ with the community of Bondi Junction and the places around us. I think God wants Church in the Marketplace to be a place where we welcome new members into the fellowship of God's family and we do a bit of loving and laughing and learning and living in harmony together. I think God wants Church in the Marketplace to be a place where we grow people to spiritual maturity through our Bible studies and seminars and retreats and small groups. I think God wants Church in the Marketplace to be a place where we equip every believer for ministry by helping them discover the gifts and talents that God gave them. What kind of place do you think God wants Church in the Marketplace to be? I believe those dreams, my dreams and yours, will continue to become a reality. Why? Because in the first place they come from God. They are God's dream for us. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. You are the God who provides dreams and visions and the one who nurtures the faith so that they might come to fulfillment. Lord, we pray that as individuals we might know your purpose for us. We might dream it, we might see it, and by your grace and by the exercise of our faith, that purpose might come to fruition. And Lord God, we pray for Church in the Marketplace, that you might give us the dreams and the visions, the purpose that you would see fulfilled by these people who gather Sunday by Sunday in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.